Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Today is Mothering Sunday and our speaker is the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James. Our readings are taken from Exodus 1, verses 1 to 10. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is available on our website.
Good morning. Today's readings from Exodus 2, 1 to 10. The birth of Moses. During the time of man from the tribe of Levi, a married a woman of his own tribe. As she bore him a son, when she saw what a fine baby he was, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him any longer, she took the basket made of reeds and covered it with tar to make it watertight. She put the baby in it and then placed it in the tall grass at the edge of the river. The baby sister stood some distance away to see what would happen to him. The king's daughter came down to the river to bathe while her servants walked along the bank. Suddenly she noticed a basket in the tall grass and sent a slave woman to get it. The princess opened it and saw the baby boy. He was crying and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked her, "Shall I go and call a Hebrew woman to act as a wet nurse?" "Please do," she answered. So the girl went and brought the baby's own mother. The princess told the woman, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and while I pay you," so she could look at the baby and nurse him. Later, when the child was old enough, she took him to the king's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. She said to herself, "I pulled him out of the water, so I named him Moses." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate all those who, through their care, protection, and willingness to act, are able to transform history. Help us to rediscover your heart on this Mothering Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those who've been traveling with us, normally we're looking at the epistle to the Galatians, but today we just pausing, and we're going to explore this passage that we find in the book of Exodus, which is the second book of the Old Testament, starting with Genesis. And as we've seen in the video, we're thinking about Mothering Sunday, which celebrates more than just biological mothers, which are, of course, very important, but it's about all women who find themselves in a position to care or nurture or protect or show compassion. And in that story, we have two women and a girl who do just that, showing courage, showing care and compassion, carrying God's purposes forward and nurturing and protecting life. And through them, God's plan of rescue is taking place. And one of the big story of the Old Testament, the story of Moses and Israel's leaving Egypt and getting into the promised land, all start not with powerful kings or prophets, but with those three people, two women and a girl. We hear about Moses' mother, and later on we learn about her name, which is Jochebed. And then Moses' sister, again, later on we learn that her name is Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter, we don't have any name for her, whether in our reading or later on. They have different positions in society, different status, different roles, different age, yet they're all instruments of God's purpose. So let's start with Jochebed, the mother of Moses. And the title for her, I thought, is She Did What She Could and Then Trusted God with What She Couldn't Control. She did what she could and then trusted God with what she couldn't control. And so in our reading, we learn that she became pregnant, she gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she'd hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hid him and no longer, then she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch, and then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Now, I'm the glad father of 4 children, and I saw my wife being 4 times pregnant, so I know a little bit of pregnancy. And there is a lot she did during her pregnancy to protect, to nurture, to care. She ate maybe better food. She, at times, woke me up. I have no recollection of that, but woke me up in the middle of the night to say, I fancy some strawberries. Yeah, there we go, you have to go. I can't remember if it's strawberries or something, no? You say you didn't, well, there we go. There we go, ice cream, okay. There we go. She did had to, she chose to not drink alcohol or very little, there we go. Trying to get things right now, you know, otherwise I'm getting in trouble tonight. And rest and change your lifestyle. Those are the things a mom can do. But of course, there is a lot of things you can't control. And you're depending on healthcare, and certainly when the baby is time to come, there is a lot of things that can go wrong. And of course, at that time, giving birth to a child was even more dangerous than today. And so trust takes a big part of any pregnancy. And then we see in this passage that the mother saw something in the baby. She saw that the child was fine, it's translated. Later on, I'll say that it could be also that he was good, that the child was good. So again, I ask myself, what did she see? And here's the question. With your experience of baby being born, who is most likely, if you're married or, you know, if who is more likely to ask for the weight and the size? And on the first visit, who's most likely to do some kind of family detective work? You know, like, definitely the father's eyes, and, oh yes, I can see the nose of the grandmother there, and, well, in our house, it's not me. It's definitely Vashti, and I wonder how many times it's most probably a mom or a mother figures that would look for those kind of things. Because for me, I look at the baby, and I said, really? It's just a baby like any other baby. So, yeah, if you find yourself like that, you're not alone. I'm not alone. So, what did she see? But in the Hebrew, it could be translated that he was good. And it could be just straightforward that there was a sense that this was a healthy baby, looked beautiful and healthy, and that was a good sign. But there is also a famous Jewish interpretation that says that when Moses was born, the whole house was filled with light. That's one of their kind of interpretation. And the idea here is that maybe she saw much more than just the baby and its future with that hope that they had and the knowledge of the promises of God. Maybe there was a spiritual insight, a special calling, a special destiny for that child. We don't know, but it made her make courageous decisions. She decides to hide him for 3 months And then when that wasn't possible anymore, she did what she could and then let God take the rest. So what did she do? Well, she realized he can't stay with me anymore. She prepared a basket, made it watertight, giving him the best chance by not just putting him anywhere in the Nile, but choosing a very specific spot among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. And then she sent her daughter to be on the look. And possibly she knew that this is a place where officials from the palace would come and bath. Makes sense to the story. And so for me, she exemplifies the truth that often love means doing everything you can, but then trusting God with the rest. Trusting God with the rest. There is a time where you have to let go and let God. And that's hard. Here, faith is not loud and dramatic. It's just a mother quietly placing a basket in the river and trusting that God will carry it from there. She couldn't control the river, but she could trust the God who rules the river. And that's the truth with whatever fathers or mother. We can't control life, but we can trust the God who controls life. And I wonder whether that speaks to you at this time in your journey, whether there is something of letting go that you know God has been stirring in your heart and you find it hard and impossible, or whether you are at a stage where there is a letting go. And for me, at my stage is in September, two of my children are going to university, and that's a big let go, letting go, trusting that God is in charge, hoping that the values and the importance, experience of life, we've taught them as best as we could, imperfect as we are, and now they are on their way to live their own life and grow in that future. So for me, I take comfort in that story of a mother who's able to do all she can, but then also have that ability to trust and to let go. The second is the daughter of Pharaoh, a princess. She chose compassion over power. So we read in our story that Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it, saw the baby. He was crying. She felt sorry for him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew babies." So she knew exactly what this baby was all about. She knew that her father had made a law to seek to destroy any baby male. And I wonder whether she had struggled with that decision for a long time. I wonder whether she had hoped maybe to make a difference at some point, and through circumstances, that point came to her, and she was willing to act upon her compassion, her desire to do something that's right within a political ruling that was so wrong. And I think she then showed the truth that compassion is powerful enough to interrupt the machinery of injustice. Compassion is powerful enough to interrupt the machinery of injustice. Someone said of this story that this story shows how in the house of the oppressor, in the very house of Pharaoh, God planted a heart of mercy. What an encouraging thought, that whatever situation, dark situation can be, God can plant hearts of mercy. Sometimes the most powerful thing is a person, sometimes the most powerful thing a person can do is simply refuse to stop caring. And so I think she kind of epitomized that reality. She refused to be in that situation where she stopped caring. And it made me think of people in my own life who were not my mother, but who kind of were mother figures, who were tremendous in caring for me. And I wonder whether there are people you want to be grateful this morning, people who around you were mother figures, who when maybe other people stopped caring, that person didn't. And in a way, brought hope and maybe healing. The key here is that compassion can break systems of cruelty, and God's grace often works through unexpected people. And then finally, we have a girl, Moses' sister, and she watches with courage. She stood there at a distance, watching, waiting, protecting for that time in the only way she could. And sometimes love is the courage to act, but sometimes love is the strength to stand, to wait. Maybe it has sometimes this same idea. Sometimes it's to let go. Sometimes people do have really not good lifestyle, and sometimes we try to fix them, and again, and sometimes we have to let them go, and it's hard. She stands there, she watches when action is impossible. But when it becomes clear that she can act and do something, then she does. While staying near the river, while being on the watch, she sees that Pharaoh's daughter finds her little brother, and then she steps in with remarkable courage. She says to the Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" She's very smart, and that is matched with Pharaoh's daughter's instant agreement. "Yes, go," she answers. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And so now Miriam moves from watching and waiting to acting. She solves Pharaoh's daughter's practical problem. She wanted to rescue that baby, Pharaoh, but it would have been a big problem to bring a baby at that age into the court. So how to feed and care for him? And so in ancient times, and still today in part of our world, children can be nursed by nursing mothers. And so they would be nursed by a woman who had recently given birth. So by offering to find a Hebrew nurse, Miriam provided an immediate and practical solution to Pharaoh's daughter. And she protects, in a sense, her from political danger, because by arranging that child to be raised outside the palace, it would reduce maybe public attention. It would allow the princess to show compassion without open defiance, and we would make the situation look ordinary. A wet nurse caring for a found child. And possibly Moses then was raised for 2 to 3 years with his real mother. And that's the most brilliant part of the story. The baby is returned to the mother. He's then nursed in the best possible place. The family gets time with him. But even better, the mother gets paid for caring with her own son. This is the irony of God's sovereignty, despite the times, the dark times they were living. Egypt ends up financing the survival of the very child that will be the demise of Pharaoh. Egypt is financing the survival of the very child that will be the demise of Pharaoh. That should give us hope in whatever circumstances we might find ourselves with. And then when the time is right, Pharaoh's daughter adopts Moses as her own son, bringing him into the household of power and privilege. We read, when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh. Miriam took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Commentator observes, what Pharaoh sought to destroy, God was preserving right under his roof. So how many mothering figures are in my life? I'm thinking today, how many mothering figures are in your life? How many have been God's instruments of guidance and protection and nurturing and care? In this story, God's sovereignty and providence quietly unfolds. But it is through the courage and the ingenuity of a sister, a mother, and an unexpected princess. So, looking again at those women, two women and a girl, coming from a completely different world, a Hebrew slave mother, a young Hebrew girl, and an Egyptian princess. Three different backgrounds, different status, different lives, yet God worked in and through each of them. It is encouraging to be reminded that God's purposes are often carried forward through the ordinary act of courage, patience, love, compassion. And so in the story, we're reminded that love means doing everything we can, yes, but also letting go and trusting that God will do what we cannot control. No parent can shape every circumstances of the future, but faith says, I will do what I can and trust God with the rest. She couldn't control the river, but she could trust the God who rules the river. And then the story also reminds us that sometimes love means refusing to walk away. How many lives are shaped by people who simply stay present? Maybe not intervening for their own good of the person, but watch, pray, care. And then when it's right, maybe do act. God often places quiet guardians beside our lives, people who may never appear in the history of the history books, but whose love changes everything. And then finally, the story reminds us that compassion and love have the power to interrupt injustice. Sometimes the most powerful thing a person can do is, as I said, simply to refuse to stop caring. Even in the household of Pharaoh, God had placed a heart capable of mercy. Our world today celebrates often loud achievements, but God frequently works through quiet acts of courage. A mother who protects, a sister who watches, a woman who chooses compassion and defies injustice. These acts may seem small, but they can, and they did, change the course of history. Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Fabian, for unpacking that.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.